Thank you, Brother Gary. Again, I greet you in the name of Christ. So good to see you. Good to be here today. Good to see those of you who've been absent. Welcome you back here today. It does us good. We have been blessed to be the recipient of some great prayer warriors in our life. We've lost a lot of them. We miss that, but others have stood in the gap. And so that's the thing about it. You know, as we grow older, our commitment to prayer is even called upon more urgently. As we lose some of the prayer warriors, you know, down through the history of our church, and we have to step up and take up the slack. Amen? Well, yesterday I've told you Brother Sammy baptized a lady here, and it was a lady that had been saved many years ago, and she had a bad aneurysm and was in a coma for a long time and on life support maybe, and she had forgotten her baptism, and she wanted to be baptized again, you know, that something she could remember. She knew she was saved, but she couldn't remember her baptism. So Brother Sammy baptized her, and that was good for that. If you have your scriptures, we'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10 today, verses 32-34. Chapter 10 of the Gospel according to St. Mark, verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and scourge him, and spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Listen to what the Gospel says in verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. They were afraid. So, are you ever amazed? You know, we ought to be amazed at the goodness of God, and there are days that we are just amazed at His goodness. Amen? And then there's days we're afraid, too, if we'd be honest about it. They, in this journey, they are amazed and they're afraid. And 2,000 years later, we're still experiencing those two things, you know. Hopefully, more amazed, and that's the purpose of this message today, so we could fall in that category. We could spend more time being amazed and less time being afraid. Now, amen, wouldn't that be a good thing, wouldn't it? Nobody likes to be afraid, you know, but the opposite of that is to be amazed at the Lord and His goodness. So I want us to think about it today. How often am I amazed, and how much time am I afraid? We don't like that. We don't have to be afraid. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, and we stand amazed when we think about your glory, your goodness, and your faithfulness, and all that you've done for us. Lord, there are times that we are afraid, if we'd be honest about it. We pray that you would take away our fears. Help us, Lord, to stand amazed more than we're afraid. I pray for those who are watching or here today who are struggling with fear, dear Lord, and any more of their life is spent more in fear than in amazement. I pray that they could find some peace today. And I pray, Lord, if there be anybody here or watching who's not been saved, that they could be amazed at your marvelous grace today and come to know you as Savior. Pray for our sick, those who are going through things right now. We pray your healing hand be upon them. Bless the shut-ins. Lord, have your way here today. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. They were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. Excuse me. Started out amazed, didn't they? Well, the Bible says here some things that we need to notice here today. It says they were in the way going to Jerusalem. We know where we're going, to Jerusalem. And if we think about it, we know why we're going there, right? Jesus is going to Jerusalem to die. That's where they're headed. This is after the great confession in Philippi there, and now we are headed to Jerusalem. And there's a clear understanding he has told them and going to tell them again what's going to happen when we get to Jerusalem. And as we start this journey here, we are amazed. And then after we think about, whoa, what's really going to happen, then we're afraid. And that's kind of human reaction. That's the way we are sometimes. At the first, we're amazed, you know, at things here, and then we get a little time to think about it. Fear. The fear factor sets in. Jesus went before them. I want you to notice that. He always goes before us, doesn't he? He goes. He leads. His job is to lead, and he will lead. Amen? Our role is to follow in that order. He leads, we follow. We don't lead, and him follow us. But he leads the way. He doesn't tell us to do something that he's not led the way. He will be there in front of you, leading you through whatever valley you go through. He leads, we follow. The Bible says, and he goes before them. They're on their way to Jerusalem for Jesus to die, to be arrested, and to die. And he goes before them. Mark chapter 8, Jesus had already told the disciples here, this is the great confession when we have retreated into Philippi here, Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asked the disciples, you know, if they really knew who he was. And they did, because Peter says, you are the Christ. And that's the right answer. I want to read this encounter here. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? What are people saying about me? And they answered, John the Baptist. There are people who say that you are John the Baptist. We know that Herod was one of those. And some even say here that you are Elijah the prophet, who is to come again. And others say, one of the prophets. You know, there's different opinion. People are saying you're John the Baptist, Elijah, maybe Jeremiah, one of the lesser prophets, one of the old prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto them, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer. You know, that Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, crucified, that's an oxymoron. And you know, it doesn't make sense to a lot of people. It didn't make sense to the Jews. To be the Messiah, he says here, the Son of Man must suffer many things. How can this be? And be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and even be killed. This must happen. And after 3 days, rise again. Now their minds stop listing when he says, and must be killed. This part here where it says, and after 3 days, rise again, they stop listening. They don't get that. They do not comprehend that. Sometimes all we hear is part of it, isn't it? They only heard part of it. The part where Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. Whoa! That's all we heard. We're going there, and we're going to be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. That passed over, and we didn't hear it. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But Peter didn't hear the third day we're going to rise again. He just heard you're going to be killed. No, you can't be the Messiah by being killed. It makes no sense. This is not how we had planned things to work out. This is not what the Son of David's going to do. He's began to rebuke him, but when he had turned about and looked on the other disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Our thinking, man's thinking, Peter's thinking was, this is not the way to do it. But it was God's way of doing it. Jesus had to die. That was God's plan. Man's plan would have been for Jesus to go in to establish the kingdom right there and then. That's what made sense to them. Jesus said, you don't know the things of God. And when he had called the people unto him and the disciples also, he saith unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what we are supposed to do. Follow him. And so we are when we start out here. Follow me. Jesus, over and over to his people, says, follow me. He leads, we follow, and this journey starts out that way here in chapter 10 with him leading and them following, and we're amazed. He will lead the way. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, the Gospel of John chapter 10. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his sheep by name and leadeth them out. He leads. He knows his sheep. He leads us. Knows our fears, our disappointments, our heartbreaks. Listens. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. He doesn't tell us, you go do this or that, and if it works out, fine. But he says, I'll go before you. I'll go before you. That's the kind of God that we serve. He doesn't put us out to do things. He leads the way always. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. All right, establishing. His role is to lead. Our role is to follow, and be careful that we don't get the order of those things mixed up. And that's the order. He leads, we follow. His job to lead, ours to follow. All right, so they get that right. They start off, Jesus is leading the way, and they are amazed, it says here in the Bible. As he goes before them, they were amazed. What are they amazed about? Well, let's think about it. We are amazed at his courage. He has done told us that he's going to Jerusalem to die. And he is steadfast, his face set to go to Jerusalem, and he's told what's going to be happening there. He's going to be betrayed to the chief priests and the elders, and they're going to condemn him and give him into the hand of the Gentiles to execute him, which means the cross. That's how the Gentiles would do it. Had the Jews executed Jesus, they would have, what, stoned him. But the Romans used the cross. So we're amazed here when we think about the courage that he has, that he is steadfast, that he's not deterred, that he is not dragging up the rear, but he is leading the way on his way to be crucified. What courage he had. And how that must have encouraged the people at first when they see his courage. You know, it ought to amaze us when we see his courage. How our Lord withstood all that, and how he endured the shame and the suffering, the pain, and how he done all that. Walk the way of sorrows, you know. How he done all that for us. We should be amazing. And even more so when we think about why he done it. He done it for us. And says that he knows us. The Sunday school lesson said God knows all the stars, billions and billions of stars. He knows how much water is on this planet. He knows his sheep. And we know him, amen? We believe that we ought to know if we're saved, if we're Christian. We know him. He knows us. We have that personal relationship with him. And that's amazing that Jesus would die for us. And we think about our life, you know, that you think the older you get about your life and the events of your life. And while here I am today, right here, today, amongst this congregation of people, amongst those who are watching, those who are listening, here we are in this universe, here today. God has brought us here. Isn't that amazing that we are here today? God is good. It's an amazing thing we sing about his amazing grace. Oh, we should be amazed as we follow Him. And we are. When you got saved, you were amazed. Amen? You were amazed and you were filled with joy and you didn't worry about the things and the distractions of this world. You only knew one thing. The only thing that mattered to you, I am what? Right with God today. And it's well with my soul. The other stuff didn't matter. I just know that I'm saved. That's all that matters. And then after we follow along, other things enter in. Now, at first here, these people are amazed. You know, we're headed to Jerusalem. And then, as the journey, we go on the journey, we start thinking about, now, again, tell me again, what's going to happen when we get to Jerusalem? We start thinking about the things that can go wrong and a lot of things. There are a lot of things that are going to go wrong in Jerusalem. He done told them. Going to be delivered into the hands here of the Gentiles, the chief priests and the scribes will try me and condemn me, give me the death penalty. That's not good. And then he said that he's going to die. We're not thinking about, and after 3 days, rise from the dead. We didn't hear that. It went over our ears. We stopped listening when he said, I'm going to die at Jerusalem. It was even after the resurrection that these things that he had said come back into their remembrance. For they just couldn't put it in place because of what? They weren't listening. They weren't listening. They only heard the bad part. They only heard something that they didn't want to hear. We are like that today. We stop listening sometimes. Oh, they were so glad when they were reminded of, he said, I'll rise again. I'll rise again. As they followed, they were afraid. Conflict ahead. They had time to think about it, and they lost their amazement. Sometime in this beautiful walk and following Christ, it's not always filled with amazement, but it can be. And most of the times that we're following and afraid, it's our fault. It's our lack of faith, it's our lack of prayer, it's our lack of focusing on the amazing accomplishments of God and His wonders and His glory. It's because we get to thinking about the things that we can't control, the things of this world that bring us down and all these things, and pretty soon we're falling, but we are afraid. We started out with such noble intentions and so much joy, and it's supposed to be that way. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah told God's people when they had come back to God, and they're sad and they're weeping, you know, and they've had this big religious experience and event there, and Nehemiah said, stop it. Stop your weeping. You know, be joyful. This is a good day. You know, God wants us to be happy. He does. Now, we're not always happy. I know that. There are things that control that. But for the most part, we should be the happiest people on this planet. Because we know what's going to happen. We know that Jesus is coming for us. We know about everlasting life. We know the gospel story of Jesus. We know how the story ends, you know. Jesus with victory, how it ends. But sometimes in the way we're like these people that had time to consider it and think about it and doubts enter in. And now they're afraid. The conflict ahead, we worry about things. tomorrow and all this. Hey, just Jesus said, live for today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. If we get there, what? I'll lead you through it. That's a promise. But first of all, we ain't there yet, are we? One day at a time, one day at a time. There's a story here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14 about Peter is classic. Just exactly how human feelings are here and what gets us, you know. And this is the occasion when Jesus walks on the water and Peter is amazed at first. And then let's read this story. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship that he'd sent the disciples out in across the sea was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Jesus walked on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Jesus don't want us to be afraid. Be not afraid, be of good cheer. Children of God, be of good cheer. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. He is filled with amazement, and he's happy that it's the Lord. Listen to this. Bid me to walk on the water. Here's what he said. Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And he's following Jesus here, going to him, and he's amazed, and he is excited. And he ain't worried about nothing. He sees Jesus. His eyes are on Jesus. He is no longer afraid, is he? And then the scripture says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He had the good sense to call on Jesus. And the Bible says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? This is human nature. It's what we do. We start out in amazement. We can almost walk on water, can't we? Then distractions, the events of this world and life events around us get our attention, take our minds and our focus, and steals the joy and the amazement we have in the Lord. And we see all the things that could go wrong. What are the things that could go wrong? The wind's blowing, it's coming a storm, and I could sink. Took his eyes off of Jesus, and it happened. You know, if we worry too much about those outside influences, they will distract us and they will cause us harm. The key is to keep following Jesus with amazement, with excitement, with great joy, you know, and excitement that we follow Jesus and not be distracted. Not start thinking about what all can go wrong and all this. Jesus don't want us to do that. Just think positive, follow him. If the storm does come, he will lead us through. You can depend on that. Afraid of the outcome at Jerusalem, but Jesus took care of them. It could be dangerous for the disciples if Jesus is arrested. You know, Peter had a weak spell there. He didn't fare too well at one test and even denied the Lord, but before them, at the arrest in the garden, Jesus does something here. He is protecting them, you know. John chapter 18, verses 3 through 8. Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. He said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as they had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. Now listen to this. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, listen to this part, let these go their way. I'm going to take care of you guys. Let these go their way. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? They were afraid, first of all, losing the Lord, but it also a little bit of self-survival kicking in here in the flesh. You know, hey, you know what? They could get us too. Let these go their way. He always takes care of his sheep. He was never in doubt for his disciples. It's never in doubt for us who are following him today. We stand amazed when we think about what Christ has done for us. Stand amazed when I think about what he is doing through us now. Think about it. What he's going to do for us in the future. Think about it. Aren't you amazed? But sometimes we are afraid. I think an honest assessment is that all of us at times are afraid. There are things that can bring fear upon us. We're still in the flesh. Peter got afraid. The disciples here, they were amazed at first when they followed Jesus, how bold he is, and he's on his way to the cross. They are amazed. Wait, look at his strength. Look how strong. Look at his courage. And we ought to be amazed at that courage, sir. For it was that courage that he walked up to Golgotha's hill and gave himself a ransom for our soul. What courage it took of our Lord to die such an awful, awful death. What courage he had. We should be amazed. But sometimes distractions cause us to be afraid. Sometimes we are afraid. But Jesus says, fear not. Fear not. You know, some of the things that we fear about are real. You know, it's easy to say, well, don't be afraid. These things are tough sometimes. There's some things that cause us to be afraid. But we don't have to be afraid. And Jesus doesn't want us to go around scared to death all the time. He wants us to have some peace. In Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 32, and he said unto him, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall neither for the body what you shall put on. Don't be worried to death and scared to death about life here. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? You're much more valued than many sparrows. Believe that. And which of you, in taking a thought, can add one statue to his cubit? You can't add a day unto your life. Now you can shorten it, I believe. If ye therefore be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? You know, don't be afraid and tormented. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. If God so clothe the grass, which is today and in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Sometimes that one gets me. I'm a micromanager, and I often have plan A, B, and C, especially at work, planning for the worst and hoping for the best. You ever do that? All these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen to this. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. Don't worry about all these things. Jesus is saying, follow me in amazement, not in fear. Man, it's not possible every day of our lives. There are things that come upon us that we get afraid sometimes, but perfect love casts us out fear. Let us strive to follow the Lord in amazement. Let's be amazed as we focus upon Jesus, what He has done for us, and what He is doing, and what He is going to do. And one of these days He's coming back in great glory and power. You know, we know that, and we ought to stand amazed. Be amazed. If we follow, be amazed. We don't have to be afraid. Now, why? I'm going to give you one short answer for why you don't have to be afraid as you follow Jesus. That why you can be amazed as you follow Him every day of your life. Why? Give me one short, quick answer why I don't have to be afraid. Jesus rose from the dead. The most important thing here that He tells the disciples here, they didn't hear, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be killed at Jerusalem and all this, and in 3 days I'll rise again. Jesus rose from the dead. That is the gospel that we have. That is the good news. Because He lives, we do not have to be afraid. We do not. We can be amazed as we follow Him when we think about His glorious resurrection from the dead. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You that we can follow You with amazement and not fear. And sometimes we take our eyes off You like Peter and we sink. Sometimes we have weaknesses and we get afraid. We fear the things around us and a lot of distraction. But Lord, help us to focus on You. And we pray that You'd give us a walk of amazement. That beginning today, we'd be resolved as your children that we're going to try to follow you with the same amazement that we started out on when we got saved. And then the distractions come along. But Lord, let us go back to that first love. And I pray if there be those who are here today who are not yet following you and they don't know about this amazement, this amazing grace, I pray today that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Anybody listening or watching or here today, we pray that today they'd be saved. We pray if we're walking in fear today, we would be healed of that. And we could walk in newness of life, that we could walk in the power of God with a sense of amazement every day, thanking you for the grace of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Gary, if you'll come, we're going to have a song. If you're here today, God's spoken to you, and you're not walking in the amazement that you once did, you can. God wants you to walk in power. He wants you to walk in amazement of His goodness. We do not have to walk in fear. Get rid of that fear. Cast it upon the Lord and walk in amazement. Let's stand together. If you're here today, you're not saved. You